New York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Thursday to you. 13th day of September 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. So we started the hour off with Facebook is going to try to keep fake stuff off of their service. But even Mark Zuckerberg is finally coming around to reality going, we can't get it all. So, you know, about technology and where it's going. Then Jeff Bezos comes along and says he's going to put $2 billion into a fund called the Day One Families Fund and the Day One Academics Fund. Seattle, remember we did the story about Seattle, how they were going to raise taxes on larger companies in Seattle. That was going to raise, I don't know, $75 million or something like that, that they were going to use to try to help combat the homeless problem in Seattle. And everybody squealed, and Amazon was the target. They're a big employer in Seattle. And they Seattle backed off like a week later and said, okay, no more big company tax. Because a lot of big companies said, we're not going to be here. It cost them millions of dollars to be in Seattle. They're going, we'll move to the outskirts of Seattle. So Bezos, half of this is going to be focused on homeless. And that's $1 billion. So Seattle was talking about $75 million. Do you think $1 billion will solve the homeless problem? Again, my experience where I worked with the homeless for a number of years, a long time ago, it's heavily mental illness and drug or alcohol addiction. And you got to tackle those if you're going to tackle the homeless problem. But on the schools, he wants to create a $1 billion fund for a new nonprofit tier. I'm not sure what tier one means. Tier one preschools in low-income communities. Will that make a difference? Will people send their children to the Amazon school as opposed to the local public school? What would you do with your children? Will this lead to other corporations starting corporate schools? Funding with large amounts of money that the public schools do not have. And they would quickly become superior schools as far as their facilities, the technology, the equipment. I don't know if they would attract teachers that maybe are fed up with the bureaucracy in a public school, but might think there's a better chance of really trying to teach kids. Because I believe teachers that are there more than 5 years are, the pay is nice, but what drives them is they love their profession of teaching. That's what they want to do. So if Bezos can say, yeah, I'll support teaching, I don't know where this is going, but Bezos has crashed through all kinds of places that people said that won't work, and he's been successful in just about everything that he's done. The phone number here is 855-295-6600. Roger, Fort Pierce, Florida. Hello, Roger.
How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. What do you think?
I think that any alternative to the public schools, they can't do any worse. They're dominated by unions all the way back in the Reagan era. A bunch of Harvard liberal guys studied the problem in public school and said it was the unions, said if they were trying to destroy our schools, they couldn't do a better job than what they're doing. They're not interested in education. Unions are interested in better pay and better pennies for their members, and that's it.
Right.
When they try to really get involved in education.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fault them for that. That's what they're there to do. They're there for the teachers, not for the kids. Their teachers are the ones that are paying them dues to get a better pay, better benefits. I get that.
That's
but that,
true.
Yeah, but people get it mixed up. You have got it dialed in.
Well, and they, I'll tell you, they try to get involved in the actual education. And the fact is, I write my letters to the editor saying, listen, if you want to be involved in the curriculum and how children are taught, get yourself elected to the school board. We didn't elect those union people. The school board is who has some responsibility to the parents and the taxpayers of the school district, whereas the union people have none whatsoever. And, you know, they really have no business being involved in the curriculum, and they always want to complain about, you know, educational freedom, as if a two-year graduate from education school knows more about teaching than what we've learned over literally thousands of years. The military can teach you how to do something quickly and efficiently. Sure. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them. Do it over and over and over. Oh, well, if I actually had a public school teacher write in the local paper, if we make them do rote learning, they're going to hate us. Well, we had teachers that we hated, and you know what? They taught us more than anybody else.
I was going to say, the toughest teachers, the toughest teachers that I had, the ones that were the toughest teachers were the ones that taught me the most. Absolutely.
Absolutely, and I remember their names, and I, you know, God love them now because they drilled it into your head. And whether you were rich or poor, I mean, it was kids in the 1800s learning more than college kids today, and they were, you know, barely living, scratching an existence on, you know, dirt poor farms.
Well, what do you think about what do you think about Bezos and corporate America getting schools started? Will it work?
I think it's very possibly could be the thing for the future. There, you know, it's not so much that our public schools don't have the money; it's what they spend it on, and they spend it on administrative jobs. You know, it should be a very small pyramid with a very few people at the top. Very wide base of the pyramid, all those people down on the bottom teaching children. Well, they don't want to do that. They want to have a very high pyramid with lots of top administrative positions with big fat top paychecks, but they don't teach children.
No, they're top heavy. I remember when my boys were playing soccer, and I was talking to one of the dads. He was a teacher, and he was talking about how he was tired because he was going to grad school, and I said, what are you doing that for? He says, because I want to become an administrator. And I said, why do you want to become an administrator? I thought you liked teaching. And he said, because I can make more money that way. That's what all he was trying to do. He was just trying to get a bigger paycheck. But he was a good teacher, but he wasn't he was going to leave the classroom. So, yeah, that story times 100. So, well, we'll see. We'll see, Roger, what happens, but I do appreciate your call. Let's get Nikki in here from California. Nikki, hello. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great.
I'm a teacher out here in California. And first of all, I have my issues with the unions. But I think I agree with you that they are there for money for the teachers, basically. And sometimes that's questionable, but anyway.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. That's what they should be doing. But
that's what they're there for. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. My big thing is with these Amazons and Zuckerberg, things like that, I like the idea of competition because I do think that competition is the answer. You know, more choices, the better kind of thing.
Right.
However, I can also tell you, too, I'm probably not speaking for a high percentage of people in the teaching profession because they do tend to be more liberal than me. However, I've seen a lot. So what I wanted to say, though, is there's two things that concern me with the Amazons, the Facebook, is one, it's a private school, so that means that they can bring in their politics to it, just like we're talking about with the public schools.
True.
That, you know, people are saying, oh, the teachers are so liberal and stuff like that. Well, Silicon Valley does not seem to be highly conservative. So, no. So I don't think that, I don't know. I'm not sure what to think in that way, because I would want to know, as a parent, I would want to know what the curriculum is and how they are wanting to focus on things there.
Let me ask you, because we've only got about a minute or so, they're going to cut us off. As a teacher, does this kind of, the problem is, you're on a path toward retirement funds, benefits, everything else that you have within your current employment. But do you kind of think I might check it out, see what it is, because it may give you an opportunity for more freedom?
Maybe. And I can just tell you, in California, we're already messed up there. But anyway, and I guess the other thing, too, I was going to say is the special ed. So if Bezos and those people can address the kids with special ed needs a whole lot more. I have two boys with ADHD, and it's a rough setting for them. So if they could have it to where, instead of sitting in chairs, they're sitting on bouncy balls or yoga balls so that the kids can bounce or something. Different kinds of structures that I think that a Bezos school or, Amazon school or whatever could do that our public schools aren't. I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, one of the things that makes the difference between you and me and Jeff Bezos is Jeff Bezos has a vision. One of these gifted people with a vision that most people don't have of what the future will look like. And he's trying to march there.
Then I applaud him. I applaud him. And I would like to say I'd like to join him, because I don't think, especially in the special ed area, we're getting more and more kids who are getting diagnosed with ADHD.
I know, and that's another whole show. I'd love to talk to you more about that, because I find that fascinating, too. And I don't know whether it's what's causing it. But anyway, Nikki, I got to run. But I do appreciate your call and your honesty and the fact that you're kind of piqued your interest as a teacher. Thank you. Phone number is 855-295-6600. The public schools are not producing the product. Will Bezos? Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. So, Kent Smith says, Tom, until 1963, when teachers were unionized, the U.S. was near the top of the world ratings. Then my teacher's sister said it became a trade union like Dave Beck or Hoffa were running it. Those are two union guys. Kaiser says, I don't know about Bezos. He has a hard time paying his people at Amazon. I saw a story of some workers collecting food stamps because they don't pay very well. How is he going to pay teachers? Kaiser, I don't know what the answer is there. I had a Amazon employee a week or two ago. We were going back and forth about the fact that if it's so bad, why don't you leave and get a job somewhere else? Unemployment rate is so low, you can get a job anywhere. And the guy finally admitted that he was making more and happy with his job. So I don't know. There's always disgruntled, but I don't know if it's all that bad. Oh, I saw a story last week, Kaiser, about the fact, like the kids on the border. Bezos has Amazon employees in cages. So I don't know. He'll offer enough to get good teachers. But, yeah, you can be like ICE. Put the kids in cages, and then the Amazon teachers will be in cages. It'll all work out. Jeez. Tempered by Fire says $2 billion will be as successful as the $11 trillion spent to combat poverty. And San Antonio Dave said David Robinson, who, if you don't know, was a big star, San Antonio Spurs. He was a Navy Academy guy. They called him the Admiral. So David Robinson had one of the most successful charter schools for low-income students here in San Antonio, where they taught the kids four different languages, and the kids loved it. The kids had to qualify to attend the George Washington Carver Charter Schools. Yeah, there's a lot of those stories. You got to get the right people to run them, but let's talk to Carl in Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Carl.
How are you, Tom? Thank you for taking my phone call.
You bet.
I've worked on school bond issues, and I've worked on educational issues here in Nevada, and primarily in Carson City.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do not talk about in this country is the rate of adult illiteracy. We estimate anywhere between 15 and 25 million adults across all ethnic lines cannot read above a 7th or an 8th grade level.
I believe it.
If the family, those parents who have kids, can't read above a 7th or an 8th grade education because perhaps, for whatever reason, they don't value education, that's not going to be transferred onto their kids.
Maybe.
I remember talking to...
I have to push back a little bit on that. My father dropped out in the 8th grade. But he wanted me to get a good
education. Well, I understand that. Sure, and I understand that. You had a father that valued education. That's
you're right. He did not have one, but he thought it was important. You're right.
Right. And I've had adults who told me when I was working on school bond issues, here's what we're trying to do. I don't know how many times I had this said to me. My job is to get them out the door.
Oh.
End of discussion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if a kid comes home and if the parents have a 7th or an 8th grade reading level and the kid comes home and he's struggling with algebra, where's he going to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's,
why I say, Carl, you're touching on exactly what I was thinking earlier and talking briefly about. It's a deeper, deeper societal issue about the nuclear family. Is mom and dad there? Do they care about you getting an education? Do they give 2 cents about an education? That's yes. All that goes into it. And that's a much deeper trench than what they're doing in the schools between 8 and 3.
And I would agree with you on that. We can have this conversation ad infinitum. We can pump all the money into it that we want. That's still not going to solve the issues unless the parents become involved in their kids' education.
So is Jeff Bezos doing this to get the critics about the fact he's not philanthropic off his back, or does he really care? Does he care?
I think people are looking for simple answers. Pumping money into it may not go ahead and be the answer. I think people are looking for simple answers in the education, and it's too much of a complex issue.
But he'll be able to say, see? See? I tried.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Well, as we get the last half hour of the program today, just a reminder that Hurricane Florence, wind speed 100 miles per hour. The gusts are up to 120. It's not the wind that kills in a hurricane. It is the water. And flooding and the surge, the ocean surge, is what takes lives. And that's what they're worried about. And we started the program today. I'm being very critical of the fact that the more they show all the people on the beach and the reporters are there and it looks like be fun, the more people stay. There's some of these towns where 40% of the people stayed. We were talking during the break about it. You know, if television producers would do it, they don't have the time to. But to some of these people they talk to and they say, well, I'm staying because I'll tell you, because I'm not afraid. I'd love to get their names and follow up and do a story about them next week. And there'd be some that, well, how was it? It was real scary. And there'll be some they'll say, well, we couldn't get a hold of this person because their funeral is tomorrow. So it's I find it weird. It's almost not a snuff film, but it's almost down that road of these people are in harm's way, and they're bragging on they're getting their 5 minutes of fame. And then you got the reporters there. I know that they take precautions, but still, it makes it look like, hey, it's okay to stay. But the death comes from not the wind. Most 75% of the deaths come from the water. All right, other news. We've got a lot to get in today. Bob Woodward's book, Fear. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to read that piece of trash. Okay. Simon & Schuster said that they had the highest pre-order sales in the history of Simon & Schuster, which started publishing books in 1924. 750,000 copies sold in the first day. They have ordered a ninth printing of the book on the same day it was released, sending the total number of hardcover copies of Fear to printing 1.15 million. So, look, which I find interesting because Woodward writes books about every president. He writes them. That's what he does. He writes books and he gets tell-all books and he tells little stories about something weird going on in whichever president he's writing about in their White House. But what this is, what Woodward's getting out of this is what the media is getting out of this, is that Donald Trump has become the media's best friend. He has driven the ratings of cable television to the moon. Highest ratings, biggest audiences for Fox, MSNBC, not so much for CNN. But Fox and MSNBC are doing terrific as far as record-setting audience levels. And the publishing of all these Trump books, why do you think? Because they're selling like hotcakes. They are selling like hotcakes. So Woodward has broken the all-time record for book sales with his book out called Fear. And I'm not even going to ask if you are even going to bother, because I know some of you, I wouldn't buy one of them. What do we got for the Waffle House? AccuWeather chimes in on the Waffle House index that we told you about yesterday. And looks like in Charlotte, North Carolina, Bojangles Famous Chicken and Biscuits has over 750 locations. And 70% of the locations are in the path of Hurricane Florence. So we don't know if we're going to have a Bojangles index or not, but they got 70% of their stores are in the path. I don't know. Do we have any updates on the Waffle House index? We told the audience yesterday, if you're just tuning in today, the FEMA actually uses how many Waffle Houses are open and how many are closed. And how many are serving their full menu. They got green for full menu, yellow for partial menu, red for closed. And the FEMA uses that to determine a lot of things about where people are, because a lot of these people are staying and there's no restaurants open, and they don't have food, or they run out of food, or their food gets damaged in a flood. So, Waffle House, time to go down and have some waffles. One Waffle House in Myrtle Beach has closed. Is that right? Huh. I'm looking at a photo of a Waffle House in Gulfport, Mississippi, back in 2005. There's the sign that says Waffle House and nothing else but debris. So some of them, yeah, Some of them get destroyed. Katrina destroyed 7 Waffle Houses, but they have revamped their efforts now to try and stay open even in the face of storms. So a lot going on, and the storm is going to be making landfall sometime tonight and then just stay there for the next 2 or 3 days. So, again, worried about the water coming in and all of that. So we'll see. There's also a story. We'll have to follow up on this one. But did you see the story today where the U.S. plans to pay Mexico $20 million in foreign assistance funds so that Mexico can use that money to deport illegals in Mexico? I presume most of these people are people coming up from Central America. So the theory behind this is that we take $20 million, give it to Mexico, and Mexico is supposed to use it to pay plane and bus fare to deport as many as 17,000 people who are in Mexico illegally. So we are going to pay Mexico to get rid of illegals in Mexico. Send them back to where they came from. The whole idea, according to the Brain Trust over at the Department of Homeland Security, is that this was intended to help relieve the immigration flows in the United States with borders with Mexico. So they are thinking that if they can get them turned around and sent back home before they get to our border, then it'll just make our border better. So Homeland Security said, we are working closely with our Mexican counterparts to confront rising border apprehension numbers, specifically a 38% increase in families this month alone, directly, and to ensure that those with legitimate claims have access to appropriate protection. Yes, the number of, with all the hubbub about putting kids in cages and ICE and all the other negative stories out there about immigration, that hasn't fazed the people that want to get to our country. The people trying to get in has gone up, a 38% increase in families in the month of August versus prior months. So we're going to give them $20 million. Where's the wall money they're going to give us? We're giving them, Mexico, $20 million to deport their illegals. What do you make of that? 855-295-6600.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
Okay, in other news, we got a lot of tidbits here and there, but for those of you that have been following the Colin Kaepernick episode with Nike, and then the fact that you're scratching your head going, what is wrong with Nike? I'll tell you, I'll never buy their product again. Nike stock up over 9% today to a record high after the company released their latest quarterly earnings. They beat Wall Street expectations. They announced a $15 billion share buyback program. So this was the Nike stock added at least 45 points to the Dow today. And that, I mean, that's a nice little push because they're part of the Dow Jones Industrials. 16 of 35, so roughly half of the analysts who follow Nike, increased their stock price targets today, lifting the average price up to $79.33. So Nike stock is hit a new record high right now. And I can't find the article, right. I saw it yesterday, where people are talking about Kaepernick. Why Nike would not say, look, we're going to pay you millions of dollars, and we're taking a big risk here, so we're going to roll out the Nike ads with Colin Kaepernick as the face of Nike. And so wouldn't you think that some lawyer somewhere would have said, and this is an exclusive agreement? Everything that you sell, everything that you wear in any sort of public event, it has to be a Nike product. You can't be wearing Adidas shoes. You can't be wearing somebody else's gear. This is a lot of money, and we're betting the farm on you. So you gotta wear Nike and only Nike. So what did Colin? That, obviously, it must not. If it's in the agreement, some lawyer is going to be very unhappy because they're going to file a lawsuit against Kaepernick. Because Kaepernick, if it's not in his agreement, he started his own clothing line. He just, I mean, talk about a slap in the face to Nike. Nike went all out for this guy. Big risk for Colin Kaepernick. And he turns around and picks up his check for multi-millions is what is being reported. And starts his own clothing line and starts selling the Kaepernick clothing line to compete with Nike. I mean, thank you very much, Nike. We really appreciate the fact you gave me this money and I'm supposed to wear your gear, but I'm not only wearing my own gear that competes with yours, but I'm also advertising for it. So apparently the jerseys, you can get jerseys up, Kaepernick-created jerseys for like $350. From like $40 to $350. I don't know how you would get a $350 jersey. But anyway, they have various tiers. They have cheap ones, and they have middle-priced ones, and they have really expensive ones. And Kaepernick is outselling his own gear. What would you say if you were Nike to him? Excuse me. Can we have our money back? But, I mean, the cat's out of the bag now, and so everybody knows that Nike took a big risk. But the stock market, it wasn't up. It was on their fiscal fourth quarter. So that just finished. So they are saying in the last 3 months, I don't think this announcement about Kaepernick's deal with Nike had that much of an impact on the last quarterly earnings. But the earnings were better. Maybe they were. Maybe it was a surge at the end of the quarter. Their earnings beat expectations, and they're doing a stock buyback program. If you were Nike's PR people, their marketing people, what in heaven's name would you say to Colin Kaepernick? Kaepernick has to know that maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't have a clue about marketing. You would think he does because he's got big national protests going because of his efforts. I'm not sure. And then we got the $20 million we're sending to Mexico so they can deport their illegals. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. This is what's going on in the world. Then the other thing we're waiting for, which the Judiciary Committee was supposed to vote today or tomorrow on Brett Kavanaugh and then send it on to the full Senate. And that has now been delayed until next Thursday, the 20th. And this ties in with the fact that Dianne Feinstein has some super secret letter, a mysterious letter about Brett Kavanaugh that she has given to the FBI. And her announcement came shortly before the committee was set to vote. And so Chuck Grassley said, oh, okay, we better wait. So this may be something that we don't know. We don't know. But for Grassley to say, yeah, we're gonna wait on voting on Kavanaugh until next Thursday, So Dianne Feinstein says she has referred a letter concerning Brett Kavanaugh to federal authorities. She says, I have received information from an individual concerning the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. The individual strongly requested confidentiality, declined to come forward or press the matter further, and I have honored that decision. I have, however, referred it to federal investigative authorities. So we got a mystery now about Brett Kavanaugh. Speaking of the stock market, Nike really helped very much. The market up 147. The Dow at 26,145. The S&P up 15. The NASDAQ up 59, above 8,000. Big gains on the market. The price of oil today dropped from 70 yesterday down to 68 today, $68. And gold down to $1,206 an ounce. On the comment line, this caller has a recommendation for people who don't trust weather forecasts.
If you don't have a weather app, you can always resort to the weather rock. If it's swinging back and forth, hey, it's windy out. If it's wet, it's raining. If there's snow on it, hey, it's snowing.
That's kind of what we're getting. Hey, I'm here at the ocean. And check it out. It's really wet and really windy. And let me talk to some people here who are we'll see if they're alive in 48 hours. I hope they are. Pray for the people of the Carolinas. And we'll be back tomorrow and try it again. We'll see you then.